Good to be in the house of the Lord. If you would, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And when you get there, please stand for the reading of the Word. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. And we'll pick up at verse number 25. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse number 25. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither the prophet? And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. But there standeth one among you, whom you know not. Church, he's standing among you today. He it is who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe lasseth, I am not worthy to unloose. And these things were done in Bet Arba, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You may be seated. When John called Jesus a lamb, and it may take a little bit to build a foundation, I'm sure that you've all seen the movie, The Ten Commandments, and the plagues and the things that happened there. And then they get to the Passover when the death angel's coming. And you had to have that Passover lamb to be able to have a covenant with God. And God said, I believe it's in Exodus chapter 11, he told them, this is going to be done so that the Egyptians know that there's a difference between them and my people. And there needs, this world needs to know that there's a difference between God's people and those who are not God's people. They need to realize that there is something out there. There is a covenant with God. And I guess what I really wanted you to get a hold of is there is a lamb for you. And you need to get you a Passover lamb. For your household, for you, you need to get your Passover lamb and see what it guarantees you. I know we know Jesus as the Lamb of God. We've heard that Jesus is the Lamb of God. But sometimes I think we miss what the Lamb of God really done for us. Oh, he took away the sin. Well, yeah, he takes away the sin, but he came as the Lamb of God for another reason. And hopefully by the end of the message, you'll know what that reason's for. When you had your lamb, when they had the Passover was instituted, they had to each one of them, after all, see, the attack of all of the plagues that come on Egypt was simply God disproving their gods. Each one of those plagues that hit Egypt was against their God. They had a God for just about everything. The magicians could perform a couple of the things, but when it got down to where God and His power was revealed, the magicians couldn't do that. Now, I don't know, but whenever Moses pulled the frogs up, and the frogs were everywhere, they were in their beds, in the oven, in the bathroom, everywhere that they went, there was frogs there. And the magicians come up and they say, well, we can do something miraculous. They make more frogs. Now, I don't know about you, but I would think if you want to do something miraculous, you make them stop. But see, Satan cannot go against what God has already instituted. He can't undo what God says. And God has a plan for each and every one of you that is sitting here today. And I don't care what kind of obstacles come up in front of you. I don't care what is placed in front of you. I don't care what kind of problems you're having. God still has that plan for you. He don't look at you and say, oh, well, Jeff, I'm going to have to change my plan simply because Satan done something I wasn't expecting him to. Jimmy, you come up against a little problem in life. You went out and you partied a little bit. I might as well just scrap my whole plan of salvation for Jimmy because I didn't know that the Satan could do that. But let me tell you this morning, God has a plan from you from your birth. And too soon is society pulling folks out. And we're saying, it's too late for me. Look how old I am. It's too late for me. I'm too set in my ways. I don't know if anybody in here who didn't have some ways that God hadn't changed. I'll tell you, I was set in my ways. I was a hard head. But if the Lord can change me, He can change you. How did he change me? I found my Passover lamb. They had to go get the lamb, and it had to be one of a first year, and it had to be of their own flocks. And they had to inspect it. Can I tell you, before you ever take up the cross, before you ever take a hold of Jesus, before you ever start to get into church, you're going to have to check it out. Sometimes we don't hear that preached. But how many of you come to church and said, I'm getting saved that day? Or how many of you come to check it out? To see what was going on? You have to check that lamb out to make sure that it is what it is. To make sure that it's what everybody says it is. I can't give you a gold, brother, and tell you it's a lamb because you know the difference. No more than I can give Jonah an apple and say, here, I got you a banana. Because everything in her is going to tell her whether that's a banana or an apple. So you come to check it out, just like they did. They had to check out that Passover lamb. And it had to be one of their own. Can I tell you, it cost you something to serve God. Salvation is free, but it's going to cost you the world. It's going to cost you some friends. It's going to cost you some habits. It's going to cost you some entertainment. It's going to cost you some music. It's going to cost you some language. It's going to cost you some money. It's going to cost you some time. And I can go on and on and on for the cost of what it is to be a Christian. But the benefits far outweigh what the cost is. People today are looking all over for jobs that have good benefits. They'll leave the job that they have making more money to go to a job making less money if it has good benefits. Can I tell you, some of the lives that we're living today don't have no benefits for us, so you might as well leave it and go to a life that has more benefits for you. It had to be their lamb. It had to be a personal thing. That's where Jesus said it is a personal salvation. He is. He is our sacrificial lamb. The lamb done one thing. The lamb fed them the night before their journey. They had to eat that lamb. They had to have the strength to go on. Jesus said, take of my body, eat it, eat of my flesh, eat of me, learn. You've got to be learned and taught of Jesus. You're going to have to know who and what He is. Through reading the Word, you're going to have to take it in. He wasn't talking about His natural flesh. He said, I am that bread that come down from heaven. I am the one. Learn of me. Take me up. You have to take that lamb or you're never going to be able to be sustained for the journey that is ahead. I would like to be able to tell everybody in here, all you have to do is come up here, commit your life to Christ. You don't have to read. You don't have to pray. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to change. You don't have to do a thing. You can just move right on. But it ain't the way it is. It does not work that way. Jesus died for a reason, so that we would have the possibility to make it through this life. And so that we will have the possibility to make it beyond death. He aligned it so that we could have that. But the most precious thing about that lamb was His blood. And we know how in the movie how they painted on the doorpost and on the two side posts. And that was so when the final plague come, which was death, and he would see the blood, he would just pass by it. But did you ever notice that they never put no blood on the threshold? God wouldn't allow them to put blood on the threshold. Why would He do that? Because the blood of the lamb is not to be trampled on. It is not to be walked on. And it is not to be stepped over. The blood of the lamb marked the houses that had it on it. So that when the death angel come through and he was smiting the firstborn of every one of Egypt, when he came to the house where the blood was marked, he passed over them. Let me give you some scripture. Over in Ezekiel chapter 9, if you want to get there, I'll give you just a minute so that you can catch up to me. Ezekiel chapter 9. This is a picture of the end time and exactly what's going to happen. And I know we see all of this. Well, this is going to happen, and global warming is going to happen, and that's going to happen. And me and Cheryl went home last Sunday, and they was showing a thing about the end times, and they, I really couldn't believe it. And as I talked to some people at work, they were like, hey, I didn't even notice that. But they're sitting there and they're telling me how all of the ice caps are going to melt. All of Alaska is going to melt. All of the water is going to run way up on the shore. The Mississippi and the Colorado River is going to be twice the size that they are now. And everything's going to be flooded. Well, it makes sense. Ice melt, that's what it does. They show pictures back then and pictures now. And ice melts makes water, right? Go to a commercial. They come back and they said, because of global warming, not only is the ice caps going to melt, but there'll be a drought and there won't be no water. I said, you see it, Cheryl? They just said we're going to be flooded and there's not going to be no place to live, but we're not going to have any water. And the folks at work was talking about it. I said, didn't you catch that? And they say, hey, yeah, they did. God has not given us a spirit of fear to fear what people are going to predict going to happen to this earth. You want to know what's going to happen? It's right here. It's in the pages of these scriptures. You don't have to run out and make it happen. Brother, I ain't got to strap a bomb on my body and run into the United Nations and blow them up to make it happen. It will be fulfilled. We have seen it fulfilled in our lifetime. We see things happening. And he says, when you see them, look up. Be excited. Your redemption draweth nigh. But if you don't have Jesus and you're not saved and you're not living according to the life that Christ has assigned you, you better be nervous. But I got good news. I come to bring good news. There's a way out. There's a lamb. All you got to do is get his blood. What's that blood do? Chapter 9. He cried also in my ear with a loud voice. He's talking about God saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, and every man his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came the way of the higher gate that lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with white linen. We know who that is. There's only one that can be clothed in white linen. With a writer's inkhorn by his side. Must have been writing something in a book, huh? We'll save that for another day. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, which was whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house, and he called unto the man clothed with the linen and had the writer's inkhorn by his side. Now listen what he told him. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And the others, he said in my hearing, go after him through the city and smite, and let not your eye spare, neither have pity. Slay utterly the old, the young, the maidens, the little children, the women, but come not near a man upon who the mark is. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ does. That's what your salvation does. There is a time coming. There is a time coming. I don't know if it'll be while I'm still alive or not, but the rapture is going to take place. And I would love to be able to try to just imagine in my mind that every single person that I know, everybody I work with, everybody in my family, everybody I see when I go to the grocery, Denzel, I would love to be able to think that every single person is going to be saved and go up in the rapture. But the scripture declares unto me that there are going to be many that will be left behind. And it's time that the church rises up and realizes that the end is here. The end is coming, and we tell people, you need to be in the house of the Lord. More than being in the house of the Lord, you need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to allow Him. Hey, there's folks from Lowe's here that I've witnessed to, and they can tell you, I will tell them in a minute, you have something special that God can make out of you. Don't let the devil beat it down. Don't let society beat it out of you. But allow, get into the house of God. And what is in you, allow it to come out. It's hard. It's hard to make the changes. It's hard to make yourself vulnerable. It's hard not to be bad. Walk around.
Don't nothing about me. I plan on going to hell. I'm going to have a party. At the open door in case y'all don't get it. Say, oh, really? Who are you going to party with? Nobody's in charge there. Everybody burns equally. Why do you think they call it outer darkness? You ain't going to be able to see nobody. It's going to be welling. Now you say, I don't believe in that. Well, you just said you're going there. If you believe the place is there. Well, then all of a sudden people want to get defensive. So don't defend. Be happy. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, has provided a way that you can escape that awful death. That when death comes, and I told them in Sunday school, folks, we got to quit looking at death as the big mean guy that comes in and rips me out of my marriage, rips me away from the church, rips me away from my family, rips me away from all of my friends. This big mean dude, this tall with a hood and a big sickle coming to cut me down. When I was lost and without God, that's what death was. But now, Brother Rick, let me tell you something, brother. He's coming for me, and all he's going to do is he's going to say, Terry, it's time to cross over. I'm here to carry you to your master. I look for him with open arms. I've believed Jesus too much. I have held on, and I have seen the things that God can do, and I know that He is able to deliver me from life unto death. I'm going to walk through that valley. I've got to. It's right in front of me somewhere out there in my eternity. I can see the dark hole and the dark valley of death, and I'm going to walk through it. Yeah, I was scared one time, but let me tell you, there is one that is going to be with me, and that's exactly what He said. I will walk through it. I'm not going to live in it. I'm not going to stay in it, Chris. Why? Because His rod and His staff, they comfort me. I can stand there and say, oh God, I'm scared to go that way. And just like when he was learning to walk, they're saying, come on. Come on, take the steps. And God's telling me, Terry, you can't get to me unless you go through there. Come on, I'm here. You can make it. I've said it last time that I preached. I'll say it again. I finished my course. I've run the race. Brad, I've done all that I can do, brother. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, but oh, not for just me only, but to all of them who believe in Him. Let me read this to you. I think sometimes we sing and we sing and we don't listen. What is that day going to be like? Right now, He's going through with the zinc horn. And He's going... all through this land. Putting a mark on them that are called. But behind the man in the white linen comes those with weapons of slaughter. How can a God that loves so much do that? He give every one of us a way out. We reject it. God is not destroying mankind. Mankind is destroying mankind because of things of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the sexual stuff that's going on out there, and the drugs and the alcohol. That's a lot better. Doing what I want to do and not what you tell me I got to do. Doing what I want to do and not what the Word tells me. That all feels better. But I don't know of one person that isn't in a terrible accident. And everyone that I come up on, Nick, you know what they're saying? They want to grab my hand, brother, and they want to say, oh, God, help me. God, well, wait a minute. Where was God at Sunday? Where was God at Saturday night? Friday night. We just had the Derby. Where was God during the Derby? Oh, but I need Him now. I need God so bad. Please, preacher, don't let this happen to me.
Guy's head was ripped from here all the way around here and back here. I said, I just want to pray with him. And the officer said, I can't let you go up there. He ain't going to make it. I said, I'm a minister. I need to pray with him. He said, oh, okay. He took me up there. I got to talk with him a little bit. And the guy was in and out. Couldn't get nowhere. Brad, he was a mess. Had that little collar thing on him. And the blood done filled it up. And they had to keep scooping it out so he wouldn't drown in his own blood. They put him on a stretcher. I said, where y'all taking him? He said, oh, well, we'll take him to Audubon. But he ain't going to make it. He'll be in the morgue. Ain't no way he can make it. I said, well, I'll go see him. Went there the next day, and he made it. And I was able to share with him Jesus. Is it because I prayed for him? I don't know. I'll tell you what I do know for sure. It's because God had a plan for him. Even though he was in a drunken stupor when he did that. He was drunk when I talked to him. He'd tell you, I'm drunk. That's why I run into the side of him. But God still has a plan. I don't care how bad the individual is. I don't care what they've been doing. God still has a plan for that soul. Up as long as there's breath in the body, they can breathe out, save me, Jesus. And Jesus can still use them. Up until the day of death, He can use them. He'll give you. I just thought, brother, that me and Cheryl had a relationship. And when I let God into the relationship, that's my best pal. And we ain't been around y'all, you know, real long, but long enough, y'all know. Y'all know that's my pal. That's my buddy. Robbie and Debbie know. I don't like to go somewhere without her. People say, well, y'all got to get apart. I said, no, y'all get apart. We're going to stay together. God can make a relationship far beyond what you can think or imagine. Does that mean I'm the boss and I get to wear the breeches and I tell her, Cheryl, get my tea. Go get my supper. No. Because you know when you put God in the marriage, man, He just tears your heart apart. He says, oh, let me take everything, Terry, that you ever known about marriage and let's put it all in the garbage can and start over. God can. You need your Passover lamb. You need to know what He guarantees you. What does He guarantee me? That death will pass over. Death will pass over. But then, you know, and we might read this here in a minute. But then there's something that happens after the Passover lamb. One thing that God did not do for them. One thing that they were responsible for. The one thing that they had to do. They had to get the leaven out of the house. Now, for us that don't know what leaven is, that's yeast. That's a type of sin in the New Testament. Because what happens when sin gets into you? It just breeds and makes more sin and more sin, just like yeast does to dough, and it swells up bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you put that dough out on the counter and you watch it swell up bigger and bigger and bigger, and sooner or later it'll get a crust on it. And once a crust gets on it, it's really not much good for nothing. It stinks. You have to get the leaven out. He said, you put the blood on your doorpost. You accept what the lamb can do for you. But you have to get the leaven out. You have to remove the sin out of your life. I'll forgive you of it, but you got to quit doing it. I'll forgive you of it, but you got to shun the appearance of evil. Not shun, it says abstain. That's what the scripture says. Two totally different words there. Got a surprise in studying that. Do a word study on that sometime. Abstain from it. But always here, it's okay if I don't get involved in it. That's why John wrote and said, all that in life is what? The lust of the... That's at the top one. The want. The desire. The want to. Remove it. Then that day is coming. You've had your Passover lamb. You've applied the blood. You've allowed God to make changes in your life. What's going to happen? Let me read you this song. Now, picture this. Because it says, Sister Amy, that it's going to be as any other day. It's going to be when we don't even expect it. I'm going to get up and maybe go to work. I'm sure, if it's not on my day off. But do you think because I decide that I'm not ready, Andrew, that that's going to hold Christ back? That's going to hold back the whole world's salvation and God's plan because I decided I'm not ready yet? I want to wait till I'm a ripe. How old are you, Denzel? I'm going to wait till I'm 70 years old before I get right. Then God can come. He's not on my timetable. He put me on it. He said, you get on board and you don't got to worry about how old you are. Now listen, think of this day. The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builder's tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors. The courtrooms, no debates. Work on earth is all suspended as the king comes through the gate. Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken homes that he has mended. And those from prison who've been set free. Little children in the age, hand in hand, stand all aglow. Those who were crippled and broken and ruined, clad in garments as white as snow. I can hear the chariots rumbling. I can see the marching throng. The flurry of God's trumpet spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding. Heaven's grandstands are all in place. Heaven's choir is now assembled and start to sing Amazing Grace. Folks, there is a robe with your name on it. There is a place prepared for you at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's prepared for you. I don't care what kind of shape you're in right now. I don't care if you get saved today and die before you get out of that door. That robe is still unfolded for you. What does the Passover Lamb guarantee me? How can I trust this? Give me some proof. If you could prove it to me, then I could believe it. If I could prove it to you, it wouldn't take any faith. It don't take proof for something that we know for sure. I mean, I could hold up a dollar bill and say, how many people believe this is a dollar bill? Well, everybody say, sure. We believe it's a dollar bill because we've seen a dollar bill. But how do you know for sure that this Jesus thing is real, that I should commit to it? How do you know for sure? And I asked a fellow at work, I said, you know, do you believe that there's $1 million in the land? He said, yeah. I said, you ever seen it? He said, nope. I said, well, how do you know it's there? Well, I see little pieces of money. I said, it's not $1 million. Maybe there's only $560 in the whole world, and we're just passing it around. They may have lied to you all your life. Oh, now I know there's $1 million. There's got to be. I said, no, you believe. You believe there's $1 million. Now I told him, I said, give me a hand, close your eyes. I said, what did I do? Prove it. You can't prove it. It's something you feel. What is that feeling in me, that burning? What is it that when people start to talk about Jesus, I'm drawn to it? What is that? You don't need proof. That is the proof. As Chris told me, he said, I just got a little bitty fire, just a little bitty one. I said, brother, I can set California on fire with a match this big. Burn the entire state this much. Because all I got to do is lay it down to the right combustible. Can I tell you, when you take the fire of Jesus and you apply it to your spirit, that's the combustible he needs, and you start feeding it the things of the Word, and it'll burn in you so much. And I'll tell you why, I don't care how many devils in hell comes against you. I don't care what this Word says. There's absolutely nothing that can stop the fire of God in you but you. You're the one that pours the water on it. It's a spiritual thermostat, brother. You can set it as high as you want or as cold as you want. But never once blame Jesus because you don't want to. Because you don't want to change. You don't want to do it.
Well, why in all of this destruction? Now, I thought about this when I seen that movie. I see the Hebrews painting the blood all over their doorpost. And I thought, well, after seeing the plagues that I seen, and they painting their doors, hey, I can figure this out. I thought, well, why didn't they? Because they refuse to leave their way of life. They refuse to leave their gods and take a hold of the one that could truly deliver them. The roasting of the lamb, and it says, the Bible is clear, it says that they couldn't eat none of it raw, it had to be completely cooked, was the last god that he had to put down. I don't know if y'all ever heard this or seen this in the teaching. You can look it up. I think it's Osiris was their god. And they would give raw meat to it. And whatever they had, well, they could always take the dead person and lay it up, and maybe that god would bring it back to life. There's only one God. You see the picture of what Jesus does? That's why he's our Passover lamb. He's the one that we can take a dead body up there and give it to him, and he's going to give him eternal life. We're dead in our trespasses. We're dead in our sins. But through Christ Jesus, folks, through Christ Jesus, through that Passover lamb, He guarantees you. Chris only been saved a couple weeks, brother. You know what? You got the right to the same marriage supper of the Lamb that I do. You're going to wear the same kind of robe that I do. We're going to walk in the same heaven. Well, and I hope you don't mind me using you, brother, but he told me, he said, I don't know much about the Bible. Don't matter. You get the same thing I got. When you get hired on, they don't say, well, Rick's been here longer, so he gets this much insurance, and you've been here 15 years, and you get this much insurance. We just hired you. You ain't getting nothing. After your grace period, then you get all of the benefits. Boy, that works, don't it? All of the benefits are yours. So if he worked there a year and you worked there 15 years, they got the same benefits. Folks, that's what the Passover lamb guarantees us. That when death comes, we don't have to be scared. For those of you, this is the first time, church hear this 100 times, this will be 101. I will promise you, by the preponderance of the evidence that I have seen, everybody in this building, unless Jesus comes back, is going to die. Gives you a lot to look forward to, don't it? We are everyone going to die. My question is, how are you going to end up? Is there a little bit of leaven that needs to be removed? Is there a little bit of sin in you that you just need to get out, or you just need a refreshing? You want some of that fire that God said He would put in. What is it that we need? What is it that we desire? Now you know what the Lamb will provide for you. You know what the Lamb will do for you. You know what the Lamb will give you. I'm asking you now, what will you give the Lamb? The only thing He's asking is put the blood on and stay inside. If you hid behind the blood, you ain't got to worry. It'll pass over. Can you give me a... I don't know if anybody needs to pray. You know in your heart what God speaks to you. The altar's open. If everybody would stand. If you just need to get a brush up with God, if you just need to take a prayer request. Sometimes I hate to even label an altar call because people won't come because I don't want nobody to think that's me. But I'm telling you, if you just need more of God, if you just want to talk to God, it's open. He'll provide for you what you need, far beyond what you could ever imagine.
Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, as this tender lamb has come before you desiring to know more, we ask you, sweet Jesus, Lord, that